This morning, we'll be reading for a scripture from Psalm 85. Psalm 85. Our key verse in the psalm we're reading here is going to be verse 6, which we will start with, and we're going to read through the end of the psalm. Psalm 85 and verse number 6. Let's stand together for the reading of God's word. The Bible says, beginning with verse 6, it says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord will give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps." And verse 6, once again, let's read verse 6 together. "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Revival will be our theme for this year, 2020. And this will be a key verse here. "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" We'll talk more about revive us again. "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" We're also going to read from a passage in Isaiah, which should be a little bit familiar because we touched on it here a little over a month ago. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The word contrite means broken, sorrowful, repentant, specifically over wrongdoing. So to be contrite, to have contrition, is to be sorry for your sin. We're in Isaiah 57, verse 15, we just read, Isaiah 57. And so here's the high and lofty one that dwells with those who are contrite and humble. Wow. Remember here a month and a half ago or so when we were talking about who is God? Who is God, right? He is high. He transcends all. He's above all. And yet, he's near. He's available to those who humbly seek him. And so God says that right here in this verse. But I also now want to focus on the aspect of revive. Revive. Here's a beautiful thing. God doesn't leave us in a broken, like contrite has the picture of broken, right? Broken over your sin. Just sorry and sad and repentant, wanting to get right. And here's the beautiful thing. God can get us right. That's the idea of revive. Notice what he says in the middle of the verse. He says, "I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Revival. Revival. What does this word revive mean? I want to give you just a couple of examples. It's used throughout the Bible, and many times it's used in a physical sense of physical revival, that is, somebody who's ill, getting better. I'll give you an example here of an older gentleman whose heart, this is tied not just with his health, but his emotional state. He was very distraught. He was very sad and had been for actually quite a few years. Let's go to Genesis chapter 45. Right here, Genesis, first book of the Bible, chapter 45. We're going to look at verse 27. Genesis 45 and verse 27. We find here Jacob, who is the father of 12 children, right? Joseph being one of those children. Remember, Joseph was the very special child that was born to Jacob's wife, Rachel. And so from this very special, from his wife, Rachel, Jacob fathered Joseph. Joseph, of course, was hated by his brothers and was sent away. Well, they lied to their father and said that he was dead, that they found him dead. But they were going to kill him, but then they decided to sell him to the Ishmaelites. And he was sold as a slave. He went down to Egypt. And their father, Jacob, was left to think that he was dead and eaten by a wild animal. Remember, they brought his colored coat that his father had given him. Brought that colored coat dipped with blood. They purposely did that with a very wicked heart. And Jacob has been grieving ever since. And he's never been the same man. Although he's limped along for probably 13 years or so. Maybe more than that. At least that many. From when Joseph, more than that. Joseph was about 17 when he was sold into Egypt, and he was 30 when he was made ruler in Egypt, and then it was the famine still. So it was quite a few years, actually, before this verse. So that gives you just a little background, all right? Now, the famine happened, and Joseph's brothers had gone down to Egypt, and finally they learned that Joseph was actually the one in second in command there in Egypt. And now they finally come back to their father. And Jacob learns that his son Joseph is actually alive. He's not dead, as he's thought for all these years. Verse 27. Now we are Genesis 45, verse 27. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, next word, revived. The spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Here was a very distraught man. Here was a man in getting older as well, but this was an encouragement to him. And we see the use of the word revived. It lifted his spirits. It brought some joy to his heart. Let's notice now, I'm going to go to the book of 1 Kings for another example. 1 Kings. And we're going to look at chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll look at verse 17. So 1 Kings 17, 17. Here we find the prophet Elijah. And he has been staying here with a widow woman. And in this particular case, the widow woman's son has gotten sick and actually dies. So here we are, 1 Kings 17, verse 17. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him." Now verse 20. The boy has died. I'll read verse 18. I guess I no need to skip it. Verse 18. "And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him into a loft where he abode. and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he, next word, revived. And he revived. Now, revival, we can see in the physical sense. We can see Jacob's spirits lifted in Genesis there. We can see here a child who was dead. The Bible says his soul was departed from him. And Elijah, the man of God, prays that the child's soul would return. And the soul does of the child. And the Bible says the child revived. We can understand that pretty clearly. And so I'd like to give you one more example in the book of Ezra. Ezra is before the Psalms and before the book of Nehemiah. We'll find the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verse 8 and verse 9. Ezra chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, And now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Notice that. Give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. In this case, the nation of Israel was in a bad way, and they had been in sin, and God had brought judgment to them, and they were scattered, and Jerusalem was attacked, and the city was broken down, and the walls were burned. So Ezra comes to help rebuild Jerusalem that was destroyed, and Ezra comes to see things restored. And the Bible uses the word here, in this time of bondage that they had, God lightened their eyes and gave us a little reviving here in verse 8. We can see, and there's many other places where the Bible uses the word revive or revival, to restore to health and life, to live again. Specifically, the word means to live again, to be restored to life or health, to quicken. And so when someone's sick and they go to the emergency room, when they're really sick, they go to the emergency room and they get some help and they feel better, they can maybe walk out of there and they came in perhaps on a stretcher, right? There's a revival of the physical sense. Now the revival we're most interested in is not the physical, although God can work, and we should pray for physical needs for God to strengthen us, to revive us, to minister health to us. Sometimes he certainly can. He can. Sometimes he chooses to. Sometimes it's not his will. Sometimes he gives us grace through those trials. But you know what? Sometimes a revival or a reviving is partial, okay? So somebody goes into the ER really sick and they're able to walk out, right? But there's probably still, come back on Monday, right? And then there's going to be this therapy and you're going to take this medication, right? There's more steps. They're not perfectly whole. There's still more to work on to bring them back to health if possible, all right? In a spiritual sense, you know what? We can go home on a day like this, and we can say, "Wow, I need to God touched my heart about something. Maybe it's prayer. I need to be more more serious about praying in faith and really seeking God for the things in my life and the needs around me. And we can have a prayer revival, right? Where we are responding to God and God is helping us to do right in a certain area and to really follow Him. And so there can be steps of revival where we have God's help and we are yielding to that and we're making advances for His name, for His glory. And so revival. So I just want to make that clear that it can be smaller parts of the revival process. And for the theme this year, as we think about revival, oh, how we need revival. First of all, I would point out that revival or to be revived means to live again or to be brought back to a place of health and strength. Now, what does a healthy Christian look like? Happy. That's one aspect. And our verse in Psalm 85 says, "Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Right? Rejoice in thee. So definitely joy, the joy of the Lord. You see, if we're missing the joy of the Lord, we need revival. I wrote down a few things to talk about. What does a state of spiritual health look like? What does a state or a condition of spiritual health look like? In other words, what does it look like to be revived spiritually, to be walking in revival? What does that look like? Well, I'm sure we could take a lot of time, many messages to break that down. But first of all, I want to emphasize, I got three words. First of all, fellowship, grace, and fruit. All right? Let's say those three words. Fellowship, grace, and fruit. All right? Fellowship, first of all. Those are the three points of the message here as we talk about revival. And specifically, what does a healthy Christian look like? Okay? What does it look like to be revived, to be living as God intends for us to live? Well, first of all, it's fellowship. Fellowship. Now, fellowship means I'm walking with God, right? Fellowship is always going to include me being daily in God's Word. God's Word is essential. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And he actually was quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, I believe verse 3, and or verse 6. And he was saying, we need to live by what God says. So God's Word needs to be a part of our life. If we are living a revived life, God's Word becomes important for every day of our life. We are walking in the Word, daily in the Word. Obviously, to be in fellowship with God is going to mean that we are walking in obedience, that we're doers of the Word, obedience. I can't have fellowship with God if I'm walking in darkness. So obedience is essential. And communication, which is prayer. Me communicating with God in that way, and God communicating with me. And so prayer is an important part. If we are walking in revival, if we are walking and living as a Christian should, prayer will be a part of our daily life. And not just a little part to check off a list, I did that, but it will be part of our life. God tells us to be instant in prayer. That's what God says in Romans 12, verse 12. It says that we should be instant in prayer. In another place, it says to pray without ceasing. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, everything by prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. So God wants prayer to be a part of the Christian's daily life. Us talking to God, us lifting up needs. There is nothing that we shouldn't pray about. Everything should be a matter of prayer. Now, I mean, obviously, if God commands us to do something, we don't have to think, Lord, do you want me to do that? I mean, you say I should do that. You know, there's some things we don't have to question, okay? We need to do, but we need to pray about everything. Pray for God's direction. Pray for wisdom in a situation and decisions in all of the things of our life. Prayer. So there's just a very short capsule of what revival will look like in the sense of fellowship. I will have fellowship with God. Now, there's different levels, right? There's different aspects. Sometimes I'm just doing okay, but God really wants me to be in better fellowship, right? We can have fellowship, but it's not as good as it could be or should be. There is always the need for us to draw closer. So fellowship is critical. Growing in fellowship with God is important. A definition of a healthy Christian, to be walking in fellowship with God. Daily in the Word, being obedient to the Lord, and depending upon God in prayer. All right, then that brings us to grace. So first of all, fellowship. Secondly, grace. Grace. What is grace? God says that we are saved by grace. God also says he gives us grace in our trials. He gives us grace for our daily needs. So what is grace? Grace is God's help for me, right? That's a simple way to say it. Grace is God's help for me. I couldn't save myself, but God did everything so I could be saved. Jesus gave his all. That's God's grace. I need God's help to do right. I need God's help to do his will, to be obedient to his commands. I can't do it in my own strength, but with God's grace, I can. A person who the revived life is a life that is accessing God's grace, depending on God, seeing God's help in their life. And so I wrote it down this way. God's grace. God helping me as I trust him. God helping me. Let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verse 6 through a couple verses here. James chapter 4. Notice what the Bible says. James 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, but he giveth more grace. Isn't that a wonderful thing there? He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. That's the same thing we saw in the verse we read there in Isaiah 57, right? The contrite and the humble, right? He revives, he dwells with and revives the spirit and the heart of the contrite one, of the humble person. A humble person is someone who recognizes who they are and more importantly recognizes who God is. God gives grace to those who are ready to receive it. The proud don't need God, right? That's what they think. They have that attitude of, I'm doing fine. Hey, I'm doing all right. You just leave me alone. And or what have you. There's that arrogancy, that pride, that self-sufficiency instead of God dependence and God seeking. But God says he has more grace. He says he giveth more grace. He gives grace to the humble. Notice verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know what we see here? That we have God's help to overcome temptations. We don't have to sin. We have God's help available. but sometimes we don't take it. See, the need for revival is where I get back to biblical Christian living, where I get back to walking in the Word, a meaningful prayer life, obedience, God's help in my life. I am yielded to Him. I'm humble and I'm yielded. Notice what verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Here is a submission to God first. Yielding to God and seeing God's help in our lives. His victory. Notice the first part of verse 8. It says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. If we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. So, grace. Really, God helping me. I have God's help. And God is here. He is available to help those that look to Him. And so a person who's walking in revival is a person who is experiencing God's help in their daily life. They are experiencing the victory God intends for the Christian. Notice Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, noticing verse 18. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When a person is drinking alcohol, it controls them. They've let it into their life, and it causes them to behave in a different way. Many people become more belligerent and angry sometimes and cause harm to others. Sometimes it has an effect in a different way, and sometimes people, at least at the beginning, are more relaxed and jovial. But you know what? God doesn't want us to be drunk with wine at all. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. It gets out of control. In fact, you take the first drink, you are out of control. You've already made a foolish decision, and it puts you in a worse place for the next bad decision. And but God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. Now, when we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit. But God wants us as a Christian to always be filled. Another word for filled is controlled. Controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Just like alcohol would control someone's life, we ought to be controlled by the Spirit. There's no excess there. But as we have yielded ourselves to God, I prayed this morning for the filling of the Holy Spirit because I need Him. Because without Him I can't, but with Him I can. John 15, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. God's help for me, His grace, His Spirit filling me. God gave us the Holy Spirit to be our helper, to be our teacher, to be our encourager, to enable us to do the will of God, to have victory. And so God's grace. Thirdly, in these three words, what was the first one? Fellowship, grace, and fruit. Fruit. What does a revived Christian life look like? What does God want us to be? He wants us to be in sweet fellowship with Him. Okay? And there's different levels. Like, we can be in fellowship and recognize that, hey, there is room for growth. I know that I need to be closer to the Lord. I need to cultivate a deeper heart of love for the Lord. These are things that are critical, okay? So revival is something we need from God to get His help. So fellowship, grace, And lastly, fruit. Fruit is the product of Christ in me. Now, there's fruit in a few different ways. First of all, when I'm walking in the Word, walking with the Lord, and I have His grace, this man's going to be different. I'm going to think different. I'm going to act different. It's going to make a difference, and that's a result. Fruit is a result. What is the product of Christ in me? Well, if I'm walking in revival, there's going to be a Christ-likeness. The Bible also talks to us and teaches us about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, and faith. The fruit of the Spirit, that's what God does in me. That's my character that is Christ-like. That's the qualities of God's moral goodness flowing from my life. Okay? That's God's plan for us. Christ-likeness in my character, but also a clear impact for Christ. This last point here of fruit, the product of Christ in me, is going to be impact in two different communities, to my fellow believers. If I am walking with the Lord in revival, if God has revived me and I'm cultivating a heart for God and I have His grace, you know what? It's going to have an effect on my fellow believer. My interactions are going to be edifying, right? Even if I'm dealing with a difficult situation, even if I'm dealing with a brother who's stumbled or who's not doing what they should, right? The way I pray for them, the way I'm talking to them or about them, right, is going to be all different because it's going to be Christ-like communication. It's going to be speaking the truth in love. And so my life will be edifying to others through service, through encouragement, through exhortation, in prayer, so many of those things. So an impact for Christ on others, but also a witness to the lost. If I am walking in revival, the lost will see Christ in me, in how I handle myself, in what I say. God calls us to be witnesses for Him. And revival, you can't truly be walking in revival and not care for the lost. We will have a sensitivity for those in need and a burden to witness. And God will help us. The Bible says in Proverbs 11 and verse 30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise." Revival. We need the reviving of the Spirit of God to renew our fellowship, to have God's grace, and to have fruit in our life, through our life. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for what You want to do. Lord, wilt Thou not revive us again? Lord, will You revive us that we may rejoice in You? Lord, stir our hearts. Oh, Father, that we would be what You want us to be. Lord, in the area of our personal lives, of our fellowship with You, of our prayer life, oh, we need Your reviving. In the area of our obedience to You, oh God, we need Your reviving. Lord, when we think about Your grace, Your help, Lord, Your help is what we need. And for the fruit, oh God, we cannot produce anything good
without you. Fruit, Lord, of fellow believers being encouraged and edified, and of the lost seeing Jesus, seeing Him for who He really is, being drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, help our witness to be clear, to be bright, to shine even in this dark world. Lord, we need you. Oh, Father, I pray that in this ministry and in the individual lives that this ministry is a part of, oh, your work, Lord, would you revive it? Lord, would you stir our hearts? Would you draw us closer? Lord, we need you. Oh, Father, our impact is not all it should be. Lord, our lives are not always as clear a light as it ought to be. For your revival, we pray. Help us to respond with obedience, with humility, with contrition, that you might revive us. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.